Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Yo, what's up? Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And Mama Momo's in the house on a Wednesday. What up, Momo?
How are you? I'm good. I'm excited. NBA Twitter was back last night, wasn't it?
It was, in a big way. You know, perusing 110 pages or whatever it is of a manual.
113 pages.
Oh, 113. Sorry. I didn't mean to, jip it 3 pages, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's get right into this. We'll get into it. It's time for Straight Talk. And Ramona's going to give us the Straight Talk. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data and 2G for $45 a month, saving you half the cost of big carriers. No contracts, no compromise. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. All right. Before we get to it's National Eat Your Vegetables Day, we will give you the vegetables that is the NBA manual. All right, Ramona. So let's start very quickly. I think the thing that people want to know the most is what the hell happens if someone tests positive? Like, what are the protocols?
Yeah. That wasn't as fun to tweet about.
Yeah.
Okay. But I did read that section very carefully. And one of the things I think is interesting is, you know, the NBA really made a point to build in a protocol for positive tests and also for testing, where if you test positive, it doesn't necessarily mean you're out for 2 weeks.
Right.
It means you get now a second test. So they're going to test your sample again, because there's a possibility of false positives. And anybody who follows boxing would know that that's been an issue. Michaela Mayer, who was a boxer who was supposed to fight on that Top Rank card, I think, she tested positive. And then like 2 days later, she tested negative. And she was like, I don't think I had it. I think it was a false positive. And they said she couldn't fight, and it turns out she was negative, but they didn't have a protocol in place for testing and retesting, right? So the NBA has this, and it's pretty complicated, where if you test positive, they'll retest that sample, then they'll test a different sample, and then if the result is negative, they'll do even a third test. So There's a whole thing where I think you go to like sort of an isolation hotel while they're sorting through all this, while anybody is. And it's not just, we only talk about players, but I think we really need to talk about all of the NBA
staff right? Everybody.
Too.
Yeah.
Everybody's subject to that. Now, my favorite part of this whole thing, George, is that everybody is wearing a magic band.
Oh, yeah.
I'm there in Orlando.
Yeah. And so if you haven't been, I don't know if at Disneyland they have this, but I know at Disney World they do. So basically, you have these kind of rubber bands.
Yeah.
They're like almost like if they were like a little kid watch, you know what I'm saying? But without an actual watch. And it's just like a wristband, and it's got like this circle thing that's got a Mickey Mouse, outline on it. And you can use it to open your room. You can use it to pay for stuff at the store. You can use it for all sorts of stuff.
So
like a key fob of sorts.
Yeah. And I think that's what's going to be your record indicator of also your testing protocols. Like you already had your temperature tag today. Oh, you had your coronavirus test today. There's also some pretty detailed stuff about what types of tests they're using. So they're going to use the nasal swab that's like not as invasive, because the stories that people have told about what it's actually like to get a coronavirus test are not very fun.
They're testing your brain, basically.
Yeah,
yes.
Basically. Yeah. There's a couple different kinds. There's one that you test your brain. It's like a really long nasal swab, and it hurts. And everybody was like, we can't do that every day. They're going to use this shorter one, but you also have to scrape the back of your mouth, too. I think it's that they're just as effective. And then that you have a chance to participate in a study that I think Yale is doing on possible saliva testing, which is not ready yet, but you can participate in that as well. And, you know, one thing that I thought was the most interesting and possibly impactful piece of the entire document, though, was something towards the end, lots of fine print, where the NBA basically says, these are the rules. And the NBA and Players Association also recognize that things can change, and that may affect us all of us, and we might have to shut down the bubble, or we could loosen or change some of these rules at any time.
Right.
So in other words, here's 113 pages
it's
of
fluid,
plans, but it's all fluid. It could change. Right.
Right.
So
right.
I think that is very interesting. And it sounds to me that if somebody tests positive, just from what I read, George, I don't know how you read this. If somebody tests positive, they go into isolation. They have to stay there for a while. If their team replaces them, I don't know that they get to come back.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't replace them, if they just sort of leave them in the isolation bubble, let's say you're asymptomatic and all you need to do is it's a certain amount of time. I'm not remembering what the time period is, but it's, you have to have two negative tests in a row with 24 hours in between or something.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you're asymptomatic and you test positive. Let's say it's a big star on a team. Okay. Just pick Anthony Davis or something. Okay. Knock on wood as I say that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I feel fine. I don't have anything. He can go to the isolation hotel and stay there and just get a test every single day. And if he has two negative tests in a row, he can come back.
Does the isolation hotel have a DJ though?
Yeah, I bet they all do, man. They really went, all out in those marketing materials. I don't know if it was just because we've all been grounded for 3 months, but I was like, ooh, that sounds kind of fun.
Yeah.
Did so you get into it?
There's PlayStations, there's DJs, there's going to be
lounges,
all sorts of massages, pedicurists, manicurists,
yeah.
Barbers, hairdressers, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. Although all of those people are going to be wearing PPE.
Yes.
Right? Like they're all, and they all have to be tested. Anybody who comes into close contact with players has to like wear personal protective equipment and get tested before they do. So it's, it's like getting a manicure with somebody wearing, surgical scrubs and goggles and all that. But still, that's exciting. You can go on Disney's Wild Africa trek. You can have a team bowling outing. You can have.
Wow.
It sounded like they had plans for a movie next.
Movie. I heard that they're. Oh, this is the interesting part. I heard that they're going to have like movie screenings where they're going to watch movies that haven't been released to the public. Like
Whoa.
Black Widow with Whoa. Scarlett Johansson that was supposed to be released months ago, but because of COVID wasn't released. But the people in the bubble, or at least the players, will be able to do it. I hope if I go to the bubble, I can watch Black Widow. What the hell?
I know. I don't think you're going to get as nice a setup.
No, I listen, all you got to do, can you do me a favor? Can you text Adam Silver and say, can we get the DJ and the PlayStations? The rest of it, I'm fine.
Well, what's interesting, George, I don't even know if you're going to get the good hotel because there's a tiered system of hotels there.
I saw that. There's the Grandestino or whatever, which is like the basically the Grandestino and the Grand Floridian are like, they're kind of like Ritz-Carlton types, right?
Okay.
Like those two. I've stayed at the Yacht Club. I'll tell you this. The Yacht Club for the teams and the play-in, mm-hmm. that's a nice hotel. Like, I've stayed there. That hotel goes for like $600 or $700 a
Does
night.
Does it really?
Yeah. Wow. It's not like it's some cheap hotel either, okay? So it's not like they're staying at a Motel 6.
So Brian Windhorst told me that he and his family went to the Yacht Club, and they didn't really like it. And they had to move after a couple of days because he said it was kind of kitschy. Like, the rooms are themed rooms or something.
No, I mean, well, I've stayed there. It's a yacht theme. I don't know. It didn't feel like the room was any different than any other like modern hotel room I've been in. Like, I didn't get that sense. The lobby is very much like you're on a cruise ship. You know what I'm saying? But the rooms, at least the rooms we stayed in, and by the way, I did not pay that because we get the Disney employee discount.
Okay.
It ain't cheap, is what I'm saying. I stayed there and we had fun. Like we were only there for 2 nights, but it wasn't like I didn't have an issue with it.
It's interesting because like did you see Robin Lopez on Twitter, who obviously knows
all about Disney? Yeah, they actually own a home there, right?
He seems like he likes the Yacht Club. He thinks that's a good option.
Yeah, I like the Yacht Club. So you know what, Windhorst? Take that. Me and Lopez, all right?
Yeah.
The Cuban connection, the Lopez brothers and I are in.
The only thing is, apparently the pool at the Yacht Club is not open because it's salt water, not chlorinated.
Yeah, it is salt water. It's salt water. Salt water, it is chlorine-based, but it's...
Okay.
It's... Or actually, I should say it's chlorine salt water mixed is what it is.
And is that like not enough to kill the virus?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Can we get Fauci on the line? Maybe he'll know.
Yeah, because I think that's important. I'm just thinking about like any hotel you go to at a Disney World. My main thing is going to be there's. It's usually a family hotel, so that means little kids are going to pee in the pool.
Right. So well, there's not going to be any. Oh, you're saying for you? Yeah.
Yeah. Because
there's
in general, I don't think a saltwater pool is a good idea because like little kids pee in the pool. That's what they do.
Yeah, but I think there's still enough chlorine to knock that stuff out. I could be wrong. I mean, I'll Google for you. I mean, we can make the. You know, I'll just literally Google: can saltwater pools kill pee?
Yeah. Will you just Google that for me and find that out?
Yeah,
it's important. I think it is, Greg. What do you think? Do you think that's important?
It's extremely important. Yes. Yeah. And I think it does kill pee.
Really?
I think.
Yeah, I guess they pee in the ocean too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay. It's probably all right. It's just a lot of pee. I mean, that's the thing with like little kids and family hotels.
Right.
Like if you're in there, you just got to figure you're swimming in a lot of little kids pee.
All right. That's it. I'm going to waterandhealth.com and it says chlorine pool versus saltwater pool. Which one is safer from germs and bacteria? Mm-hmm. Actually, a saltwater pool is a chlorine pool. You're essentially asking about the same thing. They're both chlorine pools, and the way that the chlorine is introduced is what is different. Salt pools use a generator to convert the sodium chloride in the pool into active chlorine. With regular chlorine pools, the chlorine is dosed directly. Regardless of how chlorine gets there, both provide the same protection versus germs and bacteria when proper levels are maintained.
Okay. Well, that does make me feel better. So why do they need to close it?
That is from the Water Quality and Health Council. Now, I think maybe that has to do more with the fact that there's a lot of like slides and stuff. And like there's like a ship in there. I know in one of the pools, there's multiple pools.
So it's like Tom Sawyer Island out there.
Sort of. But it's multiple pools. They have like a normal pool where it's just like whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then they've got all the one with all the stuff for the kids. So I don't know why they've shut the pool down. I don't know.
Here was my general reaction to this whole thing. It looks really fun for like a week.
Yeah. Maybe two. Maybe two. Yeah.
Maybe two.
Yeah.
Now, I think the basketball in between will make up for some of the.
Correct.
You know, that salad was really delicious the first time, but like the 17th time I have that Southwest Cobb salad that looks so good in the marketing brochure, it's not as exciting. Yeah, it looks really fun for like a week or two. I'm very curious how it will be after 7 weeks.
Yeah, well, I think once they get to the playoffs, Momo, that stuff will matter a lot less.
Yeah, that'll matter a lot less. And also, I think that as we noted, there is a paragraph in here saying any of this can change.
Right. You could get looser or stricter.
You get looser or stricter.
Right.
I still think, George, and this is just me thinking, no aggregators. Aggregators do not mount up.
Yeah.
Okay? I still think there's a chance that by the time we get to September, like let's see where the country is, but there is a chance that we could, when we get down to the finals or conference finals, maybe it could just be at home sites.
Maybe.
Maybe.
You
know, we can loosen this up a little bit.
Don't aggregate that. It's just a guess.
I'm just wondering. Now, it's all set up here. It would take a lot to change anything, but there is a provision in there that says that they can. Let's watch. Let's see. And I think that's kind of what I have heard agents saying that to players, which is like, hey, this is how it's set up now. It's super strict. I like they have a snitch line, basically.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, no, no. Wait. We got to get to that. The snitch line is fascinating because there's already a meme out that I sent you. Night. Hold on. I got to find it. There's a meme out that says anonymous hotline to report potential violations of protocols in Orlando. And it's a picture of LeBron on his phone smiling. And it says, yes, it was Giannis and Kawhi out with no masks. I'm certain of it.
Okay. But so your mind went there. My mind went to anonymous tip line. So like pretty much once that number gets out, anyone can call.
Right.
Don't you think fans are going to call that?
Do you think fans will have the ability to get to the number?
Well, let's say if somebody goes out to downtown Orlando to the club or to a restaurant or whatever it is, and they're spotted out there, you can take a picture, but shouldn't you also be able to call the anonymous tip line? So yeah, I think that number is going to get out there.
Huh, interesting. Yeah, because it'll get all over social media if somebody's hanging out at the club. By the way, the club is the worst place to be right now during COVID. Like, literally, there was a story yesterday. I saw it where 16 girls in Jacksonville, Florida, all went out for one of them's birthday or something. And they went out to some club, and all 16 came back with coronavirus.
Well, I saw the story in the New York Post, and this is one I just can't get with, okay? This one girl, she works in healthcare. Literally, she hasn't done anything the entire time, George. She works in healthcare, so she knows how dangerous this is. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, this was like the one time that I went out. The one time for 3 weeks, for 3 months, I've been so good. I just went out one night, and this is how I got it. I'm like, honey, you should know better.
Yeah,
come on,
seriously.
You work in healthcare?
Yeah, come on. Come on. I like that you dropped in a honey. You should know better.
Come on,
I like that.
You get a honey for that. Come on.
All right.
You
coming up next.
You know how stupid that is. Come on.
It is dumb. Really dumb. All right. So we'll continue to comb through the manual throughout the show. Like, that's what we'll do. Is every segment or so, we will have a different aspect of the manual that we will comb through. And when I say comb through, I feel like you remember the movie Spaceballs where they're combing through the desert? That's what comes to my mind right now as I say that. But anyway, coming up next, you and I are going to discuss Kyrie and the Coalition. I didn't realize this group had the Kyrie group had a name. The Coalition. So Kyrie and the
platform and a name.
Kyrie and the Coalition. We'll get to that in 2.5 minutes. Sit down with you here on 710 ESPN. Momo hanging out as she does every Wednesday, presented by Progressive Insurance. Check out the shower sessions on youtube.com/progressive. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Happy birthday, Kendrick Lamar, Momo. You want to guess how old Kendrick Lamar is today?
I'm going to say 32.
Very close, 33. You actually win by Price is Right rules because you did not go over. Yes. You did not go over. 33. Also, yesterday was Tupac's birthday, so it was, it's crazy that both, you have those two birthdays back to back. It's kind of wild.
Speaking of birthdays and like birth years and stuff, somebody tweeted this yesterday. It just blew my mind. I don't know. I got to bring this up, but it was incredible. Did you know that Barbara Walters, Anne Frank, and Martin Luther King were all born in 1929?
I did not know that.
Think about that.
Yeah.
That's crazy that they all were born in 1929. Doesn't it seem like Anne Frank was like a long time ago because all the pictures you see of her are black and white. And then Martin Luther King was like a long time ago.
Right.
And then
Barbara Walters is what, 89 years old then?
I guess, man. Who knew?
Or like 90 years old. And wow.
I guess she's old, but I mean, she still looks the same.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. It's like she does her hair and makeup well, I guess. I mean, that's amazing.
That's that ABC makeup and money. You know what I'm saying? Make you look different.
She's 90, by the way.
90? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, I was close. Wow. Yeah, 1990. Yeah.
1929.
Good for her.
I'm just thinking about like three different lives lived, like born in the same year. And
crazy.
How different those lives are.
Right.
I think of them as like, very different stories, but in a lot of ways they went through life together. Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. That just blew my mind.
Also, happy birthday to Venus Williams today, her 40th birthday. And we saw Serena is going to play at the U.S. Open. And the U.S. Open is going to happen, which is interesting. And tennis is going to be back and no fans and very strict rules there, too.
I am really surprised Serena's playing that. I am so surprised because she was one of the first people who went into quarantine.
Right.
And she was like, I'm going self-isolation. And you remember a couple of years ago, Serena had blood clots.
Yeah.
And she had I think she had that also again in her pregnancy.
Yeah.
And her delivery. So she is definitely a high-risk person because that's one of the underlying conditions that, can cause this. Now, tennis is a different kind of sport than basketball. You're not breathing all over each other.
Right.
Outdoors.
Completely far away. Yeah, yeah.
But
just
going to New York right now, it just gives me a little...
Yeah, pause. Pause. They are doing phase two, though, very soon here.
I know.
Next couple of days. I have a friend who lives in the city but has a home out in upstate New York or whatever, and he's been there the whole time. Like, they have not left, and they're going to go back, I think, June 29th or something like that, he told me. Mm. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. But so we'll see how tennis goes. I do want to get to Kyrie and the Coalition. By the way, Mark Spears is going to join us at 11:30. He had some strong comments on Kyrie specifically, and he spoke to John Wall this morning. Even though John's not going to be available, John has also been vocal about the bubble situation. So we'll talk to Spears about everything there. I do want to get to Lakers specific stuff with you, Momo, at some point. So we'll do that here in a second too. And Lindsay Theory is going to join us at 11 a.m. She's going to join us because it looks like there could be some momentum towards bringing in Colin Kaepernick in for a workout, or at least Anthony Lynn of the Chargers is trying to get that momentum going, at least among the coaching ranks. So we'll talk to Lindsay Theory about that and how the Chargers could be involved potentially. So, but let's talk about Kyrie and the coalition. So
let's do it.
You and I have had conversations. It's funny. So yesterday it drops in the New York Daily News that Kyrie had considered even or had told his teammates and guys on calls and text strings that we should start our own league. And now that's not that's the first time it's been reported, but that's something, Momo, right, that has kind of surfaced prior to yesterday, that people were hearing that was stuff Kyrie was pushing, no?
Yeah, we had heard that last week, and it was a little second or third hand, right? You know, because you're just hearing about it from the group text.
Correct.
So it's, you know, somebody who's in the group text, but, you know, maybe a friend of a friend. So you don't report something that strongly unless you can actually just ask Kyrie or ask somebody, hey, I need a screenshot if I'm going to go that far with it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you need to know that he really said that. You know, it's the kind of, like, here's what I've, you know, he gave a statement to Woj and Malika the other day, just kind of outlining everything that he was feeling and thinking and saying. And it was, there was a lot of really interesting thoughts and ideas in there, but I couldn't tell what the end game was, right? Like, other than let's not play because it is a distraction and here's the reasons why. It was valid. You know, he makes a lot of valid points, I think. But then when you start to say, like, let's start our own league, kind of wonder how well thought out, like, the end game part of this. Where's the strategy in it? I thought Avery Bradley, with his statement yesterday that he gave to Woj and Malika, Andrews, our colleagues, that seemed a little bit more concrete. Like, Malika mm-hmm. was reporting on it that Avery Bradley thinks that the NBA should hire more Black or African American coaches, general managers, etc. That the owners should make contributions the same way Mark Cuban and Michael Jordan have, like, pledged to make those contributions. They should work more with Black owned businesses. Like, those seem like very good ideas. I think a lot of people would get behind that. I know George, that the Lakers have actually been studying that. Mm-hmm. I talked to them the other day, and they said they had actually, I think Rob Pelinka had reached out to Matt Barnes because he had had some comments on this and said, hey, what can we do? What do you think we should be looking at? I know they have a call with John Carlos scheduled. And I'm not sure when the call is, but it's coming up. John Carlos, obviously, from the iconic 1968 moment when he and Tommy Smith held their fists in the air to protest on the Olympic stage. He's talking to the Lakers at some point. They're trying to devise plans and best ideas of, like, how you can take this moment in time and do something with it and affect change. So I think there is a real coalition of players, and I think it's bigger than people think, maybe 30 or 40 players that feel that agree with Kyrie that this could be a distraction from the social movements that are taking place in this country. But what I haven't heard are any specifics other than we shouldn't play.
Right. The strategy. Asks. What is the strategy right. beyond we shouldn't play? And what I would right. add to you is this is, look, I would say starting your own league would also seem to be a distraction from pushing for social justice, would it not? Mm-hmm. To create your own league probably would take a lot of work to, you know, that would distract you from the important conversations that we're having right now. So I just don't feel like that is a good answer by Kyrie either.
Yeah, and I just think it's obviously there's a lot going on in his head and his heart and all that. And I think,
well, Kendrick Perkins was on here yesterday, Momo, basically saying that he's being relatively disingenuous, that Kyrie, that is, that he was saying that none of that he was fine voting for all of this until Adam Silver came out and said that players who are injured, including him, could not be in the bubble because they're trying to limit the amount of people that are in the bubble. And that Kyrie then was not happy about that. Amin was on the morning show this morning and said that prior to the 80-person call, Kyrie had a smaller call with about 30 or 40 guys. And on that call where Chris Paul was not present and there was no one else present from the LeBron grouping, right, or Friends of LeBron network, right, that he apparently, according to two players that he spoke to that was on that original call, that all Kyrie did was lament about LeBron. LeBron this, LeBron that, LeBron wants us to do this, LeBron. So that there is this notion that, and again, that kind of vibes with what Kendrick is saying, that his feelings are, that he's being emotional about this and not necessarily, and being somewhat disingenuous. Not my position, Kendrick and Amin's.
So Amin says that there was
a prior call than to the one on Friday.
Interesting. Yeah, I've heard some of that, that, you know, Kyrie wasn't invited to the first superstar call. You know, I get James Harden, I guess, wasn't either, right?
So, right.
You know, sometimes.
Which is the one, which is the guy we made a big deal about. Remember, you and I were like, wow, James Harden must feel left out here.
Yeah. So when you don't have everybody on a call, especially guys who see themselves as superstars, right? You know, and I remember at the time somebody said, we didn't get to everybody we wanted to get to, but we got to enough. And I'm like, the people you didn't get to, hopefully at least they got the text invite. Hopefully they got, maybe they couldn't make it, but hopefully they were at least invited, because then you get some sore feelings. I think that I'll tell you this, and I want to stick up for Kyrie a little bit. I know that's a strange thing.
No. His message is right. It's just the delivery and the strategy that I think is what people are mostly questioning.
I talked to a player who was on his call Friday night who had reached out to Kyrie, and you know, he said he had some misgivings about the bubble. It was not connected to whether it would be a distraction from social justice. It doesn't. His concerns were really just, he doesn't think the bubble's going to work. He doesn't think guys can really do 7 weeks with no social life. It's that people are going to come and go. He thinks there's, you know, how are we going to deal with punishment or discipline for people who violate the terms? He, you know, the Disney workers are going to come and go. He thinks that's not safe. Like there's all sorts of things that are absolute legitimate, valid concerns that guys have going into this environment. As Adam Silver said, it may not be for everyone. It's a huge sacrifice. And I get it. I think that's fair. And he felt like he had said that on the team Zoom call with the union. He said that in group text. And when their team representative voted, the team representative like didn't even text him and just voted yes. And he was like, what? Like, you know, I have issues with this. Like, I don't think this is right. And so he went to Kyrie and he said, hey, what's going on here? Like, why did this go down like this? Why, you know, are we addressing this? And I said, well, why'd you go to Kyrie? And he goes, well, you know how Kyrie is. Like, if you tell him that's an apple, he's like, no, that's an orange. He thought he would listen. He thought he would listen. And he thought he was trying to give voice and a platform to all of the players who had issues or who maybe didn't feel heard or a part of the process. And Kyrie's the vice president of the union. So he thought Kyrie went into this for good reasons, that he was trying to give people a platform and opportunity to speak and say things that they felt like maybe either weren't heard or weren't acted upon during the negotiations. And Kyrie and Avery Bradley, Dwight, some other folks on the call, like they were more concerned with the distraction of this to the social justice movement, but they were open to listening to other issues. And so I think all things can be true, George. I think Kyrie could have had some altruistic motives. I think there could have been some ego motives, you know, connected to the rivalry with LeBron, which is pretty much always going to be there. Like they are the modern day Shaq and Kobe, I think. I think there could be issues with like players who just don't think this bubble idea is a good idea. Player I talked to, he said, I don't think it's going to work. We should just do home sites. I don't know why we're doing this to ourselves. You know, I think all of these things are true. It's just all true. But I do think, you know, that's what building a consensus is that not everybody likes the final product, but everybody likes it enough to go along with it.
All right, let's continue some of that, because there are some things that, particularly Kyrie or whoever doubts the bubble, there's some real science behind the bubble. So I want to get to that. Plus, Major League Baseball is starting to really piss everyone off. So I want to get to that. And June 17th, today, is the anniversary of a bazillion crazy things that happen in and out of the world of sports. So we'll get to all that coming up. Stick around. We are back in 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Yeah. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Mama Momo here today, as she is every Wednesday. Happy birthday, Kendrick Lamar. 33rd birthday for him. It's all presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Lindsay Theory at 11 o'clock. We'll talk football with her, as there's talk that maybe the Chargers are trying to push for teams to. Anthony Lynn specifically said anyone who doesn't have Colin Kaepernick on their workout list is crazy. So we want to talk to her about that. Talk to her about the Rams, and just kind of talk to her about the two LA teams. This segment also brought to you by our friends at Dove Men Care Plus. Dove Men Plus Care, excuse me. Today and every day, care makes the difference. And of course, this week we'll be announcing a nominee who will receive an honorary ESPY from 710 ESPN. The nominees are from our 710 Senior Shoutout entries. Today's nominee is Asia Avenger from Rosary Academy in Fullerton. Asia was voted Trinity League's Orange County Player of the Year for girls basketball this past year. In her junior year, her team was CIF D1 state champions, and Asia was the MVP of the championship game. Watch the 2020 ESPY show on Sunday, this Sunday, on ESPN at 6 o'clock, hosted by Russell Wilson, Sue Bird, and Megan Rapinoe. So, Momo, here's the thing about the players like Kyrie or whoever has an issue with the bubble, right? And all I would say is that Dr. Fauci, okay, the most renowned person when it comes to this, all right? He's been there for 30 years through multiple administrations. You know, I don't politicize someone who's been there across multiple administrations, okay? Nor should anyone, for that matter. So he believes that of all the league's plans that he has seen, that the NBA is the safest. Now, it doesn't mean it's impenetrable, because it seems like nothing is impenetrable, right? Barring, you know, extreme measures that no one is going to agree with here. So I would take his word over anyone, for that matter. And I would also imagine, and you would know best, that Adam Silver and the league have worked tirelessly day and night for months talking to, whether it's Dr. Fauci and all sorts of other health experts from the CDC, etc., on how best they can find a way to create a happy medium between it being as or least restrictive as possible while being as safe as possible at the exact same time.
Yeah, that was the whole plan. I mean, the idea that the NBA came up with was, you know, how can we do this safely and also in a way that is fair to grown people,
right?
Like players, coaches, staffers, media, whoever is going to be there. Like, they're going to be there for a long time. So you're keeping, you want to make this like fun. So we go to the happiest place on earth, right? We go to Disney World.
Yeah.
Except you can't really go to Disney World. It's just sort of the resort around Disney World. But
I did read yesterday, though, that it's possible that they may have like special days for the guys, right? Like, I did read
they
that
could,
yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, you could, like grad night, you know?
Yeah, right, like grad night, exactly.
Yeah, that'd be so fun. Although, it's just, you have to, like, sanitize the whole place, right? You'd have to really, and I know that that's possible. I know that, you know, like, Disney's good at things like this. Like, this is what Disney, we work for Disney. We are in ESPN is a Disney subsidiary. I'm a cast member, George.
I am too, we're all cast members.
We're all cast members, okay? Yeah. And when you go, I mean, Disney's really good at health and safety. They're really good at that. That's like kind of one of the things that we specialize in, because we run amusement parks that are supposed to be good for the family, for little kids, for, you know, keeping everyone clean and happy. So that was part of the appeal for the NBA. That's why, you know, I want to stick up for Disney a little bit. I know this may sound self-serving or any, you know, whatever that is, but this idea that Disney is like getting something out of this, like some good brand value or whatever it is, I don't buy that at all. I mean, I think we're losing money on this. I mean, the NBA's got to pay a little money to fill the hotel, but like, you know, I think they can make a lot more by opening it to the general public. I think they're basically taking some of their most desirable properties off the market for 3 months. And, you know, it's nice to that they're filled, but I think they would have been filled anyway. And you charge a lot more and you make a lot more when you don't have a deal like this, because now they're going to have to sequester everybody else. Like they have to shut down a lot of things that are money-making things. So, you know, they're doing this because they're a partner of the league, but also I think it was important to Disney to be a part of this. I think it helps that Chris Paul and Bob Iger are friends. I wrote a story a couple weeks ago about how they're friends. Like a couple weeks ago, they just went on a socially distant walk in Encino together. They are legitimately friends from back to Chris Paul's days with the Clippers where they just got to know each other.
Yeah. Yeah. We have some breaking news that I want to get to, but, you know, I have people who will tweet me from time to time when I refer to Dr. Fauci. And, you know, as I said, I don't politicize him, but some people do. Well, maybe even if you've politicized him, maybe if you have your doubts about Dr. Fauci, which I wouldn't if I were you, if you're a Laker fan, Laura, do we have that sound? Do we have that sound? Yes. Okay, this is from Fox 11 here in L.A. with Alex Michelson, friend of the station, who interviewed Dr. Fauci and asked Dr. Fauci about, you know, he was talking about the NBA bubble. And then he asked him, all right, well, you know, let me ask you some basketball. Who you got in the NBA bubble? Who wins the championship? And here's what Dr. Fauci said.
Who's going to win the NBA finals this year?
Well, you know, I have to say the Lakers for sure.
Yes, good answer. We like that. The question's going to be, can we have a parade?
Well, I don't know about that.
All right. Well, thank you very much. We're sending this message to LeBron James. Dr. Fauci officially picking the Lakers to win the NBA championship.
You go. Fauci's got an official Lakers pick in.
Wow. Okay. I was not convinced by that. I feel like that was him talking to
pandering.
Yeah,
he was pandering. He could have said Clippers. He could have said Clippers.
Yeah, but I just like he. It may have been like the only team that came to mind. Like he didn't sound like
you didn't sound convincing to you.
Super plugged in.
I said obviously the Lakers. Though.
Obviously, sure. Yeah, it's the one team that I know.
Look
That's
at you.
I
think you need to do some investigative reporting on this and find out if Fauci was being earnest with us there.
Is he a real basketball fan?
Yeah, we need to find this out. Yeah,
I think Fauci's a runner. I read some story in the Wall Street Journal about how he's a runner.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that he's a huge basketball fan.
Okay. All right. Well, we have breaking news. Breaking news on Major League Baseball. Whoa. I'll tell you in 90 seconds. Oh. So, Momo, before we get to the breaking news in Major League Baseball here on the Sedano Show. And again, brought to you by Pennzoil Synthetic Motor Oils made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Our buddy Beto Duran, who is listening to the show, sent me a text. And it's a story about before Dr. Anthony Fauci was the leading COVID-19 expert, he was the captain of his high school basketball team, a 5'7 point guard out of Brooklyn. Fauci was the leader of Regis High School in 1958 and led his team past one future NBA icon. He apparently beat Donnie Walsh in like a playoff game. You know, Donnie Walsh, obviously, longtime Indiana Pacers, Knicks GM, and then you know he played for Dean Smith in North Carolina. So so Fauci can ball, Momo. Don't you knock Fauci.
Interesting. Okay. Thanks, Beto.
So that's his good. Pick of the Lakers is legitimate.
Yeah. I guess.
Yeah. I'm riding with that.
I mean, that was just my listen to his voice on there. Just kind of sounded like he was like, oh, okay, I'm on with the LA station. I'll just say the Lakers.
I mean, I'm sure he'd love to say the Knicks. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, that's never going to happen. Let's be real. So anyway, all right, breaking news in Major League Baseball. John Heyman of MLB Network is reporting that MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred and Players Union Chief Tony Clark had what's being called a productive meeting face-to-face in Arizona. Meeting was called at Manfred's request. So, Momo, are you feeling a little better that the sides are not even – they're not even Zooming. They're socially distancing from 6 feet in Arizona.
Oh, Arizona is a hot spot right now. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's where Tony Clark lives. So
that could turn out a different kind of way.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
Arizona being what it is right now. I was always confident. I think that this was all just posturing, and it was done horribly by both sides. And instead of baseball, we've had, you know, 6 weeks of drama of like whether they're going to play, and nobody needs to see it because we're going to end up having a season.
Right.
And I think that the tide turned the other night because I think Manfred got crushed for flip-flopping on the 100% thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like last week he was 100% we're going to have a season, and this week he's like, I'm not 100% now. Like, and I kind of done a little poking around on this, George.
Let me hear what you've been poking around on. Yeah.
And it's fun because I don't think I'll get aggregated because it's like baseball Twitter.
Right.
I don't think
people are like, baseball.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Baseball Twitter? I don't know.
I know, but they look at you and they're like, she's an NBA person.
Yeah, we'll find out. I got sources.
All right, let me give it to me, girl. Give it to me.
I think both sides are only the biggest concern on both sides right now is just being sued. The players can they have this position. I know owners are concerned about this, that whatever agreement they end up working out, the players have they think the players want to sue them for for breach of contract off of the March agreement that they made, because it's different than the March agreement. Mm-hmm. And same thing with the owners. There were the players, the owners could sue the players for
right.
failure to negotiate in good faith, right?
Yeah.
That was why that was important that baseball put that out there, that they have not negotiated good faith. That was part of the March agreement.
Right, right.
So
because
both sides.
Yeah, basically they have, not to interrupt you, but the Major League Baseball knows that the players have not only the moral high ground that they've regained, but the legal high ground at the moment.
So one of the things that Rob Manfred said in his interview the other night with Mike Greenberg was he was like, you know, we thought we were making progress until the union's lead legal negotiator was going around telling all the reporters and all the players that they now had grounds to sue for breach of contract. And, you know, I know that the owners are concerned that Scott Boras and his agency are pretty prominent in the mix. That even if they cancel the season outright, that they might be able to sue them to get their full salaries for 2020, saying they've deprived them of their opportunity to work, yada, yada, and they didn't mm-hmm. follow the agreement that they all came up with in March. So one of the big things that happened the other day was the baseball asked the union to do what's called indemnify them.
Okay.
That means they agreed not to sue. And the same thing with vice versa. The players have asked the owners to indemnify them. So if both sides basically drop the threat of legal action after this, I think we got a deal. I think we got a deal.
Yeah, they just want
them
to
so close.
Yeah, they want them to drop it.
You can't make a deal and then feel like the second you sign that deal, you're going to get a lawsuit slapped on you that could tie this up, and you may have to pay out another $1 billion.
Like yeah, because the reality is if they file a grievance, the Players Association, it's not only legitimate, but it stands a really good chance of succeeding. So because of that, the owners in baseball know that they're wrong. So they just – and honestly, they know – they had to have known this for a long time. So they've been negotiating off that position the whole time.
Right, and I think that is why this has gotten so contentious. And is if we can find a middle ground or a number or a spot where – there's a deal to be made that everybody feels comfortable with, and both sides agree not to sue each other afterwards.
Right.
We got a deal. I think we're close.
Go ahead. No, go. Because I was just going to make a joke. Go ahead.
Like, if it's just – if that's all this is about is just dropping the indemnity, and I know that there was a call where the league asked the players to drop – you know, to drop the threat of a lawsuit because their lawyer was running around saying we could sue them for an additional $1 billion afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the players said, no, we're not giving that up. That's the player's leverage. But it's also the owner's leverage. And so when both – I think the players have more leverage because it'd be the owners you'd have to pay.
Right.
But I really think that this is what is holding this up. And as long as they can just find a middle ground somewhere where that both sides agree, yeah, okay, we'll live with this and we're not going to sue each other.
Right.
I think we're close.
Right.
I think
we're
going to be around 74 games full prorated.
Okay.
That'd be my prediction.
I like it. All right. Now, have you seen the movie Step Brothers?
I don't think I have.
Really? With Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly?
Maybe. I don't know.
Bergman, have you seen Step Brothers?
Oh, of course I have. Momo, what is going on with
you? Momo, I got to be honest.
Step Brothers.
We love you, but that's like we got to dock you some points if you haven't seen Step Brothers at some point.
You need to watch this before next week. A lot of those Will Ferrell movies
like blend together or something. Yeah. And then they're blend. And now it's like when you said that, I thought more of like Wedding Crashers, but.
Yeah, nope, different Will Ferrell movies. Not even really like featured prominently in that one. Laura, have you seen Step Brothers before?
I have.
Okay, Greg and Laura will get this joke. Then maybe. Do you think that the meeting between Rob Manfred, Greg and Laura, and Tony Clark in Arizona is like when Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly met face to face, and one guy said, "You have to call me Nighthawk," and then the other guy responded with, "You have to call me Dragon."
Did we just become best friends?
Yeah, I feel like that's where this is headed. Ramona, you mentioned potential labor strife and lawsuits and whatnot. Paul Pierce yesterday on The Jump said something to the effect that he believes that regardless of how this happens here with the NBA, whether they pull out now. Which obviously will trigger, as many agents have said, right, that the league would tear up the CBA, the owners would tear up the CBA. But he believes that we may be there regardless next year because the league is going to have to deal with these financial situations that Major League Baseball is dealing with at the moment.
Yeah, it's a big difference. Right now they're just trying to finish out a season where they've already made the most of their money. And then you have the playoffs, which are where you make a lot of money coming up. So it's not as hard for basketball right now. Whereas next year, you're looking at a season where you could potentially have zero fans. So that's 40% of your revenue off the books right away if you have no fans. And BRI, basketball related income, is split, what is it, 51-49? Is that right?
Yes,
or 50-50?
Yeah.
So if the pie that you're splitting is 40% smaller, everybody eats less. You understand how that works?
Like, yeah.
That's how contracts are written. It's not necessarily just straight up like dollar amounts. It's what percentage of the team's cap. And I know things like that are on the table. I've heard something that's being discussed is smoothing the losses. So the salary cap's most likely going to go down because BRI is going to go down.
Well, wait a second. What happened? They didn't want smoothing the first time around a couple of years ago.
But this is like, okay, so if you're a free agent this year, and the cap goes down. Now, all of a sudden, all
you're
these
screwed.
Teams that had been lining up to have enough money to pay you don't.
Right.
And so the idea would be these free agents this year shouldn't have to bear the brunt of all of these economic losses that should be spread out amongst everybody. So that's one of the things that's being talked about right now.
As long as we get to Giannis's free agency and everybody's got money, we're good.
Well, and that's complicated, though, George. That's complicated.
Yeah, I know.
Because Giannis can sign the Supermax, but the Supermax isn't going to be the Supermax this year.
Right.
Or next year.
Yeah.
Because that's based off of basketball-related income, too. So
exactly.
If that's down, then the Supermax isn't worth it quite as much.
Yeah.
That's going to
hurt the Bucks. You know what? Let's do that on the other side. Let's talk about that. How that could affect Giannis's free agency and free agency in general on the other side. Plus, I never got to June 17th being the anniversary of just like a bazillion crazy things happening in sports.
All right.
We'll get to that. Lindsay Theory will also join us at 11 o'clock. We will talk to her about cap to the Chargers. Is that a possibility? Like, that may be something that people are discussing right now. So we'll get to that in just a few moments. Stick around. We're back in 2.5 minutes. We'll finish the NBA free agency conversation. We'll finish up. We'll comb through the manual some. We'll talk about June 17th, the crazy anniversary, and Lindsay Theory all in one segment. Back in 2.5 minutes with Mama Momo.